Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. I hope you enjoyed the presentation, the six-part series on Jesus Christ, Supernut or Supernatural, the evidence, the fact of the resurrection, which is, as it says in the heading of the God School, is the foundation and cornerstone of the Christian faith. I played golf yesterday, and after we finished, some conversation ensued, and one man was talking about, this is the first Easter, that all my family's away. I always had to go to church on Easter, and I really don't like going to church, and, so I think, I'm going to play golf tomorrow because I don't have to go to church tomorrow. And someone else responded. He said, well, he said, you know, someone said, well, you know, maybe you ought to go to church because you probably sinned. And someone else responded and said, well, I haven't sinned this week, so I don't need to go to church. Now, you know, I'm not always preaching, but once in a while, God opens a door. And I looked at that individual and I said, you know, it was once said, you know, the greatest of all sins is to be conscious of none. Now, the one that I said this to, and pretty much everybody at the table heard what I said, is, like most of us, but this guy in particular, always has something else to say. In other words, he always wants to have the last word. And that statement, the greatest of all sins is to be conscious of none, stopped him. And he kind of sat back and he said, "Who? I'm going to have to think about that." We just finished speaking of the resurrection from the dead. I've been studying all week the fifth chapter of John. And we're not going to go verse by verse, but, you know, the chapter opens where there's a impotent man, and we're not talking about sexual activity, somebody who had no strength at all, who had been in that condition, it says, for 38 years. And he was trying to get in first to the pool at Bethesda, where it was reported that When the angel on that particular day came and stirred the water, he who got in first would be healed. And because of his condition, he could never get in first. And Jesus meets him and he makes him whole. And he tells him, he said, take up thy bed and walk. And this all took place on the Sabbath day. And it says in the 10th verse, he says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, that was made whole, it's a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. 38 years, a guy's in his in this impotent condition. And it says the Jews, I would try to give a little greater context. It's really talking about the religious people, the do-do and don't-do people, as though somehow of the do-dos or the don't-dos you earn rewards in heaven. And they said, they're not rejoicing at the man's healing. They're looking at him carrying a bed, which the man, the Bible declares to be the central figure in the history of mankind, the Son of God healed him, and they're saying, it's not lawful for thee to carry your bed. And the man answered, and he said, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And then they asked, what man is it that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus finds him in the temple and says unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews, the religious people, that it was Jesus who made him whole. Listen to this. And therefore did the, King James says, Jews, I want you to have understanding. It's the religious people. Therefore did the religious people persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, King James reads in the 17th verse, it says, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In the interlinearity of a Greek Bible I use to study, it says, it's translated this way, but Jesus answered them, the Father of me until now is working, and I am working. This is a in-your-face response to their objection of a man who is healed carrying his bed, and further, their condemnation of Jesus healing on the Sabbath day. Do you understand? Do you hear? Do you see the contradiction that comes about from the do-do and don't-do people? He says, might be the Sabbath day, but God's working, and so am I. Now, this, you want to stir up a hornet's nest? You tell the truth to traditional, and by the traditions of men, you tell the truth to those people, that's really going to stir up trouble. Here's the response. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he'd not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father. And in the understanding of the relationship between the father and a son, making himself equal with God, his father. We have in the museum a printed translation of John Wycliffe's English translation of the New Testament, wherein it opens in the Gospel of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was at God," the sense of being face to face, the sense of being equal. Philippians 2 says, translation, Jesus thought it not robbery to, I want to quote it properly, "who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." The best understanding there is Jesus didn't think it took anything away from God to be equal with God. And these religious folks sought the more to kill him. And the 19th verse says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them," King James translation, "Verily, verily." In the original, what he says is, using Hebrew words along with the Greek, he says, "Amen, amen." And he says amen twice. It's a double witness to the no doubt, or no, to make up a word, no doubtestness of what he's about to say. And he says, "The Son of Man," or "the Son, can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself, that is, the Father, does. And he will show him, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel, be astonished at. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens, that is, gives life, even so the Son quickeneth, that is, gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all, men is in italics, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which sent him. 24th verse. Literal. Amen, amen. There's no doubt in this statement. I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and King James says, believeth, I say, faitheth, is a better translation. That is, an action, not just an assent of the mind, a hanging of the body on what the heart and the mind believes, being sustained by confidence. He that heareth my word and faitheth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. It says, the end of the sixth chapter of Romans, it says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift or grace of Jesus Christ is eternal life. All the way back in the book of Genesis. God, having given everything to Adam, but to show that he is God, he withheld one thing. That was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall die. The story goes on that they did eat and that they were removed from the source of life. I'm really hoping to communicate the context of all these words in Ephesians 2, Paul, speaking to the church, says, in the fifth verse of the second chapter, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened, that is, given life to us together with Christ. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened, that is, given life together with him, that is, Christ, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Jesus really died on that cross, having taken upon himself all of our iniquities and because of that suffering the wrath of God upon himself in our place, as it says in another place of Romans, that God treated his son as we deserve to be treated in order that he might treat us as his son deserved to be treated. Jesus said, amen, amen, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. I remember a long time ago, I had been visiting a church in the city that I lived in, and they were studying this gospel, and they came to this, and you know, in my in-your-face style, I said, you know what this is saying? It's saying that the words of God are going to be heard by dead people. You're all dead. But in our traditional understanding, many having been raised in the church and raised in the traditions, never really understand the consequences of our fleshly condition. Not we are sinners because we sin. The opposite. We sin because we are sinners. The wages of sin is death. When we come to understand that, we come to an understanding of not only the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we come to understand how important the resurrection is to us . Jesus speaking in the 24th verse, he that heareth my word and faitheth on him that is God our Father that sent me has everlasting life. We are, as a result of our sinful nature, removed from the source of life. Dead, if you will. But God in his great grace and mercy, God who raised up Jesus Christ. The whole New Testament proclaiming God raised up Christ has also, by the power of the gospel, given us who were really dead, though probably not realizing it, God has given us life also. At times, Dr. Scott used to use a human analogy, which I can relate to, of a golf cart. That golf cart charged up, it will run for some time, but without getting back to the barn and being plugged in, dies. It has no life save that which is provided by an outside agency, that being the generator. And that which Jesus said shall have everlasting life and not come into condemnation, but will pass, but is passed from death to life, that which gives us who are dead and because of trespasses and sins, that which gives us life is the source of life, God, and faith, which brings that life, which comes by hearing the Word of God, is like that golf cart being plugged in. And we who, as it says in the 25th verse, who hear the voice of the Son of God. And it says of them, and they that hear shall live, have an understanding. That same God who raised Jesus from the dead has given His word, His promise, that as we hear, we shall live. Back to my original story. The greatest of all sins is to be conscious of none as all those called by God, chosen by God, and the result of that having ears to hear and understanding of our condition, that as a result of being a sinner are dead, but
now live, and we live by the word of God, we come and plug in to that generator of life, which is God. And his words. And through that, through those words, we grab hold of his promises by faith. And the result is having everlasting life and passes from condemnation, from death to life. That's the God School for today.